Welcome to this deep dive. Today, we are exploring a 2020 impact evaluation report on South Africa's integrated development plan, specifically looking at the housing chapters.
Yeah, and it is a really fascinating document.
It really is. And our mission for you, the listener, is to figure out why brilliant housing policies on paper often fail to put actual roofs over heads.
It's a striking look at what happens when, you know, legislative intent just completely collides with systemic bureaucratic reality. The 2020 report doesn't just show that the system is slow. I mean, it actually reveals the structural mechanics of why local voices get lost in the pipeline.
Okay, let's unpack this. The original vision was rooted in this grand democratic bottom-up planning. The law mandates that municipalities should map local demand and drive their own development.
Right, that was the dream.
But reading through the reality on the ground, I'm trying to visualize the failure here. Is the local housing plan basically like a child's letter to Santa, like where they ask for very specific toys, but the parents, or in this case the provincial government, just buy whatever is already on sale?
I love that. The letter to Santa analogy really captures the frustration there. What's fascinating here is that it actually misses the deeper bureaucratic reality. It isn't just about a parent arbitrarily withholding toys, you know.
Wait, really? So what is the actual roadblock?
Well, the report highlights a severe structural bottleneck. Most municipalities legally lack the formal accreditation or even the technical capacity to actually manage these housing funds.
Oh, wow. So they couldn't buy the toys even if they were just handed the money.
Exactly. Because they lack that accreditation, these municipalities are essentially reduced to acting as land scouts for the provincial departments.
Just finding the empty plots.
Right. They identify the parcels of land, but the province retains total control over the budget and the actual building process.
Mm-hmm.
So it perpetuates this top-down, state-dominated supply model.
Which is the exact opposite of the bottom-up vision they wanted.
Totally. It reverses the whole intention of the policy.
Here's where it gets really interesting. If the local plans are just letters to Santa and the province is running the show, what happens to the legally mandated community participation?
That is the big question.
Right. Because the report mentions that the public needs assessment actually distorts the data. Like, how does asking people what they want actually ruin the spatial planning?
Well, we have to look at the mechanism of that distortion. When the state asks a community what it needs, the overwhelming response is just to get on the waiting list for a fully subsidized RDP house.
The Reconstruction and Development Program.
Yes. Everyone naturally registers a stated preference for a free house. I mean, obviously, right?
Which makes total sense from an individual perspective. If a free house is an option, you know, you put your name down for it.
Oh, absolutely. But from a broader spatial planning perspective, it's disastrous.
Mm-hmm.
The local needs assessment becomes literally nothing more than an RDP waiting list, rather than a nuanced map of what the community actually requires to function.
Like other infrastructure.
Exactly. Things like water infrastructure, commercial zoning, or improved roads. The data gets completely skewed away from integrated development. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the province only ever funds a tiny fraction of these housing requests anyway.
Because the budget isn't infinite.
Right. So these local development plans effectively devolve into just unfunded wish lists, which, you know, fundamentally undermines the public's trust in the state.
Man, if the community's wish lists are structurally ignored and the spatial data is all skewed, who is actually deciding what gets built? We have to follow the money.
You do. And the 2020 evaluation points directly at the self-maximizing behavior of the provincial departments.
Self-maximizing? What does that look like?
Well, they control the massive block funding provided through the Human Settlements Development Grant, or HSDG. But here's the catch. They are under intense pressure from national directives to hit strict spending quotas.
Oh, so it's a strict use-it-or-lose-it funding model.
Precisely. Meaning, if they don't spend their entire budget by the end of the fiscal year, their funding gets slashed the very next year.
Wow. Which forces a very specific kind of behavior.
It really does. Instead of taking the time to fund and manage 100 complex, localized projects generated by community wish lists, the provinces prioritize dumping their HSDG allocations into massive, multi-phase mega projects.
Just to get the money out the door.
Right. It is a bureaucratic survival tactic.
Mm-hmm.
Plowing money into existing mega projects is the absolute fastest way to prove they are spending their budgets efficiently and remaining compliant.
So what does this all mean? When you think about this in the context of your own local government, it really changes how you look at the system.
It does.
Like, how often does your city or town prioritize bureaucratic compliance spending the budget as fast as possible to guarantee next year's grant over actually addressing the nuanced, unique needs of your neighborhood.
It's a tough reality. The evaluation makes it clear that elevating local voices in a housing plan has tremendous democratic value in theory.
In theory, yeah.
But without truly decentralizing the money and the power to actually execute the build, that public participation becomes largely an empty gesture.
Which leaves us with this final thought to mull over. If government systems are fundamentally wired to reward bureaucracies for simply spending their budgets quickly rather than actually solving local problems, can any community ever truly design its own future?